few, not just the lucky few.
All righty, Kathleen Williams.
Okay,
it's always
thank
a pleasure
you,
talking with you. And
yes.
Thank you so much. This will air tonight, Kathleen.
Okay,
or this afternoon,
great. Thank
to be
you.
More accurate, 5 to 5:30 still is within
excellent.
The afternoon hours.
Okay, great. Keep up the good work.
All right, that about does it for the March 21st edition of Without a Roof radio program. Want to learn more about Without a Roof? Google us, man. We come right to the straight to the top. Next up, Non-Human Radio here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Fazzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
Plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to
Beat the Power Radio.
And Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with, yes, you know it, vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're made possible by Chico Custom Cabinetry, creating fine custom kitchen and bath cabinets and more. Chico Custom Cabinetry can create your dream kitchen or bathroom and works with all budgets with no charge consultations and estimates. Licensed and bonded, you can reach Chico Custom Cabinets at 324-0032. And you can find them at ChicoCustomCabinets.com and on Facebook. If you can live it, let's back up. If you can dream it, we can build it. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to the March 21st, 2018 edition of Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico and streaming online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm very excited to get into today's show. I'm going to be doing it solo without Mr. Danny Toms, who's under the weather. But today we're going to be welcoming back Josh Hanisch, one of the co-founders of Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, which is a nice little, beautiful little sanctuary located up in Colfax, California. He was on the show last August to talk about a happy ending to a young girl's Future Farmers of America FFA pig project, and he's taken that to the next level. Josh is on the show via telephone to talk about this new program that Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary is kicking off. It's called the Keepers Project, which is an offshoot of that event from last August. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Hey, Jeannie. Thanks for having me.
So good to have you. How are things up at Blackberry Creek?
Things are going well. They are pretty wet right now with all the rain. But the pigs are loving it, and so are the chickens. They're out hunting for worms every morning when they get let out. So
it's great.
It's always fun, no matter the weather.
How many animals do you have at Blackberry Creek Farmed Animal Sanctuary?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How many residents, how many animal residents are at the sanctuary?
We have close to 80. We have 78.
That is a lot of animals. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have you on the show not to talk about how many residents are at Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary, but Josh Hanisch, I want to find out about this Keepers project that you have, that your sanctuary is starting.
Yeah, so you are right. Last time that we spoke, we had just rescued Sebastian a couple weeks prior to the interview.
And who's Sebastian? And
Sebastian is an adorable pig, and he was a Dory. A Dory is a high school student down in Orange County, and she started her FFA project last school year. And she was given a pig, or she chose a pig, and fell in love with him and realized that she could not send him to slaughter. So she reached out to a couple different sanctuaries, and we were one of the only ones that got back. And luckily, we had the room to take him, and it actually really meshed nicely with what we were trying to do, which is come up with an alternative program to FFA and 4-H, and that is what we've done. Sebastian is our ambassador for Keepers, and Keepers is a program similar to FFA and 4-H. My wife and I, Danielle, who co-founded the sanctuary with me, we are both teachers, and we see where our current generation is lacking, just as far as getting opportunities and experiences to learn skills that they can take into the workplace, determination, perseverance, and we felt that FFA definitely.
Are you still there? You're breaking up a little.
Yeah. Better?
Yes, that's better.
Okay.
Oh, that's much better. Okay. So, so you are looking to pass on the skills that kids would learn in a Future Farmers of America FFA project or 4-H, which I think some of the keystone projects for those programs involve animals, right? Raising an animal and then showing it at a county fair-like thing, an FFA or 4-H competition?
Yeah, that's correct.
And then those animals end up going off to be slaughtered, right? Most, like 99.99% of the time.
Yeah, that is correct. And the reason why is to pay back for their care. So a lot of families don't have the money up front or monthly to pay for the care for their son or daughter's animal, and the school fronts the money, and then the school needs to be reimbursed at the end of the year. So the only way for them to do that is to sell the animal to slaughter.
What an ultimate betrayal of trust, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really unfortunate is that kids, as they progress, they realize that if they can take care of more animals or bigger animals that will raise more money for them, at the auction, they can actually earn a lot more money than it costs to raise them and use that money for school.
Okay, so what is Keepers about? How does that turn this type of program to a more compassionate bend?
Yeah, so Keepers is actually an acronym. Stands for kindness, ethics, education, philanthropy, empowerment, responsibility, and sustainability. And we have all the information on our website at blackberrycreek.org. And there's a video that we made that showcases Adori and Sebastian's experience at the fair and life at the sanctuary.
That's great.
And yeah, it's about a 15-minute video, and It's awesome. It's a great video. Everyone should go watch it. It just makes you feel good at the end of it. And basically, keepers, we want to teach, we want to engage students that want to learn about animals and how to care for them, but in a compassionate way. So we're not going to be raising baby animals or rescuing, like paying to like take animals from the auction or something like that. We're going to be using our animals that we have at the sanctuary, and we have a great relationship with our vet, Dr. Natalie Droff, and we're going to be running programs on a monthly basis where, and actually or a weekly basis, where students come, they volunteer, they learn about whatever it is we are learning that day, whether it's how to trim pig's feet or how to trim goat hooves or how to administer an injection to a sick chicken, all different types of animal care, also coupled with advocacy. So
near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's one thing to learn how to care for animals, but it's obviously another thing to also help stop more animals from being harmed. And there is definitely an effective way to be an advocate and an ineffective way to be an advocate for farmed animals. And we're trying to make them become effective advocates.
That's great. So what yeah. age, I'm sorry, Josh Hanisch from Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary on about your keepers program. What age students are you looking for to be participating in this program?
Yeah, so if students are freshmen in high school all the way through seniors in college, they can attend the program.
And that consists of then going to Blackberry Creek Farm Sanctuary and having some chores assigned to them, basically, tasks?
Yeah, it's a combination of volunteering, learning, and advocacy. So, and just hanging out with the animals. I mean, every time we have students up, I mean, we really encourage them. No more than half your time should be spent, doing work around the sanctuary. The other time, you need to be spending with the animals and connecting with them. And that's what you need. I mean, if you're going to take on a cause, you definitely need to be personally invested in it. So as much time as they can spend with the animals, the better.
So get to know Sebastian and get to know why his needs matter and get to know his personality and how his personality is different, just like people's personalities are different from the other residents at Blackberry Creek Farm Sanctuary. Yes?
Yeah. And, you know, especially the chickens. I mean, when we first started the sanctuary, the chickens were definitely the hardest resident for me to just become attached to. I mean, they're not like us in a lot of ways, but man, they are so cool when you get to hang out with them. I mean, they're like tiny, fluffy dinosaurs. And they have such a great social order, and they're so smart, and they're just funny. When they dust bathe, I don't know if you've ever seen a dust bathing chicken, but it is something you definitely need to experience.
I'm sure it's a riot. I have not personally seen that, but yeah, you know, we've talked about on the show with Danny and some of my other guests. We've talked about how it's very difficult to find empathy sometimes for animals that don't have basic attributes that we humans have. Facial expressions is the main thing, right? And so chickens, just they don't have faces like we do. Fish certainly don't have faces or bodies like we do. So we find it very hard to empathize and conceive of them as individuals. So it's important to have that one-on-one experience, and valuable for being a longtime advocate to have that window opened into another creature's psyche, basically their soul, I guess, for lack of a better word. So
And I absolutely agree. And the other thing is just educating people on the fact that their mentality towards another species a lot of the times is driven by culture, and we just weren't raised to think of chickens as sentient beings that have a life worth living. But yet, you look at someone's parrot or parakeet, and it's like it's the cutest bird ever.
Yeah.
How could anyone harm it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I'm reminded of there's an activist named Matt Ball, who's one of the co-founders of Vegan Outreach. He's no longer with Vegan Outreach, but he's with he has formed his own advocacy campaign called I think it's One Step for Animals, and the idea is that the first step that vegan advocates should try to encourage other folks to take, like non-vegans to take, omnivores to take, is to consider giving up chicken. So much of the health information, and I'm going off on a tangent here, and I apologize, Josh Hanisch from Blackberry Creek Farm Sanctuary. One of the messages that a lot of people take from a lot of the health information that gets out about vegan or plant-based diets is, I guess now it's time for me to give up eating beef, red meat. I've heard it many times. And it would be very nice for folks to consider giving up chicken first, just in terms of if you're ethically inclined, that reduces the numbers of animals that suffer, right? It takes more chickens basically to feed a person than it does a cow. Not that I think you should eat either animal, but in terms of numbers of lives, chicken and fish are just astronomically higher than the number of cattle or pigs caught up in animal agriculture.
So, absolutely.
Anyway, that's a tangent. So how do kids find out? And are you just going to be drawing mostly from your local area, which is in Colfax, California? Or because of the transportation issue and the age of these participants? Or are you going big?
So this year's our pilot. And we have a small group of students, about 10, that we are piloting the program with that already currently volunteer at the sanctuary and have also shown interest in doing this type of a program. There is a scholarship involved. That is the biggest difference between our program and any other program that's being offered by anyone else in the vegan community, in that, sadly, that's how our world operates. People need money to do things, to go to school, to buy a car, and that's why a lot of kids do FFA and 4-H. So we thought we needed to offer scholarships. So we're just staying local this year and probably next year, but we are open to partnering with other sanctuaries or other groups. Vegan groups, doesn't have to be a sanctuary, where they have access to a sanctuary nearby that they can visit and that we can work with to get them involved in a similar program.
And so the scholarship, is that, I guess I'm not clear, how does that work? Is it to cover the costs of the program, or is it a scholarship that the student gets to apply to, like, college?
Yeah, so, no, the program doesn't cost the students anything. It's totally free.
Okay.
And we have different objectives, like a list of different goals for them that they will strive to meet during the year. And if they meet all those goals, then they will be eligible for a scholarship at the end.
Okay.
And right now it's a $1,000 scholarship, so if a student was in it every year in high school, it would be a $4,000 total scholarship.
I get it. This is how you insert that money component that is in a traditional FFA or 4-H program, where you raise your animal and you sell it and you get money instead. Right. If I'm understanding you correctly, in the Keepers program at Blackberry Creek Farm Sanctuary, a student would go in and work with the animals and figure out like a capstone advocacy project, and then they would earn a scholarship, and they wouldn't have to sell their best friend for food.
Nope. And we're not adding to the supply of animals, whereas FFA, they're just constantly taking in new animals and slaughtering them. So we have a fund That if anyone's listening, they want to donate to specifically to the Keeper Scholarship Fund. On the Keeper's page, there is a link that you can do that. And that money is kept totally separate from the budget of running the sanctuary on a day-to-day basis.
That's great. I encourage folks to go to blackberrycreek.org. What is your website's?
You're correct. It's blackberrycreek.org.
Okay, and then look for Keepers, and then they can contribute and help fund a scholarship for a kid who might otherwise go and raise an animal and sell it for slaughter. Instead, they can you'd be supporting a kid developing more empathy, compassion, and advocacy. Is that about it?
Yeah, we really see it as, if that one kid can get involved in the program, not only will they be saving so many lives just by being vegan themselves, but, being in a program like Keepers for a year, 2 years, 4 years is going to impact them to go on and be an advocate and change other hearts and minds. So we feel like it's going to be a very impactful program, and we are so excited to get it going.
And so are your enrollments open right now for is it August that you're starting the public program?
Yeah, the enrollments are not open yet for next year. They will be open sometime over the summer. Our board hasn't come up with an exact date yet. But there's a short written essay and also a video that applicants need to submit just telling us why they want to be part of Keepers.
That's great. So do you folks have any, does Blackberry Creek have any events or ways to go visit the sanctuary so they can get a firsthand look at
it? Yeah. Our most popular event of the year is the Barn Raising Gala, and that is on May 19th this year, and tickets are on sale. It's $50 a ticket, and that includes food, drinks. There's a silent auction, raffle. There's going to be live music, dancing, and, of course, animal tours. And that usually sells pretty quick. So I definitely encourage people to get their tickets sooner rather than later.
Very good. Yeah, I saw that the event is on your Facebook page, and I've added it to the calendar at Non-Human Radio Facebook page, so folks can find it there. Yes, and that event does sell out every year. I know I've been burned a couple of years in a row, and unfortunately this year I have another event on the 19th, so I can't attend. But
that's totally fine. And then if you can't make it on the 19th, a monthly visitor day. So the first Sunday of every month, from noon to 2 o'clock, it's open to the public. You just have to go on and sign up for whatever Sunday works for your schedule, and you can come for free and take a 2-hour tour.
That's great. That's great. So what keeps you going in this business of animal advocacy and animal and gaining more awareness and compassion for animals? Like, what gets you up in the morning and keeps you at it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Besides just the responsibility of knowing that there are 78 animals outside waiting to be fed in the morning, I really feel very strongly about the fact that everyone needs to go and visit a farm sanctuary. That is how I went vegan. It's so impactful. You immediately make a connection with these animals, and you can't but help but think, how am I eating these? Like, why am I eating these animals? And I feel like it is a very quick and easy way to get someone to start thinking about the food that they put in their bodies. So I look at it as, that's just our outreach, and we need to keep it viable and positive and up to date and engaging, so that whoever comes to the sanctuary has their heart changed and their mind changed. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, Danielle and I talk about it all the time. I don't know that necessarily Danielle and I have ever convinced anyone to be vegan. Maybe a couple people, but every time we have a visitor day, someone's always like, man, I hung out with the pig, and now, like, I can't look at my bacon anymore. Like, I don't think I can eat it anymore. Or and they look at the chickens, and they're like, wow, like, they're so beautiful. Like, they're so social. They're so social. I can't look at the chicken the same way that I used to. And I think that's what's funny, that omnivores think, like, vegans don't like meat or dairy. And, I mean, I don't know if I would or wouldn't anymore because it's been so long, but you just get to the point where you don't enjoy it. Like, it's not worth your happiness to make another being suffer. And, like I said, everyone needs to go visit a farm animal sanctuary.
And Blackberry Creek Farm Sanctuary is a great option. Well, we've been listening to Josh Hanisch from Blackberry Creek Farm Animal Sanctuary talking about the Keepers Program, which is a compassionate and humane alternative to 4-H and FFA animal programs. And I just want to thank you so much for being on Non-Human Radio, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Jeannie. We appreciate it as well.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
All right, bye.
Okay, that was Josh Hanisch. You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I want to give a big shout-out as we wrap up the show to Melissa Schuster, who's spearheading the Blue Zones Paradise Project. We had her on the show in January to talk about Blue Zones Paradise. She had over 265 people attend a Monday night opening presentation, including Action News Now, to hear about the positive transformations that were happening in Blue Zone communities. Blue Zone communities are areas across the world where people regularly live to a long life with relatively little disease or illness and generally lead happy lives. And she wants to help make that happen in paradise. And Blue Zone studies show that life expectancy is only 20% based on your genetics, but 80% based on your environment, and especially your built environment and things that we can control, like diet and exercise, and also things like public transportation and walkways and things like that. So congratulations to Melissa. I'm really glad to see Blue Zones Paradise getting off the ground. If you want to find out information on that, go to their website at go.bluezonesproject.com/paradise. And now we have a few items on the Chico Animal Rights calendar of events. And if you need more info, please send me an email at chicovegan@gmail.com or contact me through Non-Human Radio on Facebook. This Saturday, March 24th, we have the Chico Vegan Potluck from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Chico Public Library at 1108 Sherman Avenue. The theme for this evening is the Cheap Vegan, Saving Money and Saving Lives. And if you're a healthier-minded person, we have plant-based Chico. We'll always be having a special table for whole foods, plant-based, no salt, no oil, no sugar, excellent food. You can find potluck details and the schedule for the whole year at chicovegan.com. Also this Saturday, the Red Bluff Vegan Potluck is happening from 5 to 7 p.m. at a private home in Red Bluff. You can find out that event by going to the Red Bluff Vegan Facebook group. And their theme this month will be pasta and St. Patrick. And with both these potlucks, you do not have to be vegan to attend. Only your food does. And I just can't emphasize that enough. Everybody can be vegan for one meal. Coming up next week, when school's back in session, Chico for Animal Rights will be meeting at the Chico State Campus on Thursday, March 29th at 5 p.m. Chico for Animal Rights is a Chico State Club for Animal Advocacy in Chico, and the public is welcome to attend. You do not have to be vegan or vegetarian to attend. Come to one of those meetings and help plan the future for vegan activism, animal advocacy on campus and in our community. And then March 29th, we have Plant-Based Chico is having their meeting from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Chico Guild Hall. And we have one last piece of business to take care of. And that's the animal rights quote of the week. Normally, my co-host Danny Toms reads this, but sadly, Danny's been laid low by the nasty super upper respiratory virus or bacteria that's hitting so many people. So get well soon, Danny. The animal rights quote of the week is from National Geographic photographer Amy Vitale, who posted a photograph she took of the last male African northern white rhino, Sudan. The photo was taken shortly before Sudan was euthanized on Monday, March 19th, 2018, and was captioned with the following words.